Welcome to the IYBA's podcast channel, powered by Robert Allen Law, The Yacht Lawyers. Each week, we release discussions from our past conferences, summits, and educational events specifically related to the yacht brokerage community. With more than 1,800 members and growing, the International Yacht Brokers Association, IYBA, is the world's largest and most influential association for the yacht brokerage and charter industry. IYBA is dedicated to professionalism and ethics in all aspects of yacht transactions. This week, our segment comes from Yacht Sales Summit 2021.
You know, with all the pandemic and all the stuff we're dealing with, one would have thought that it would have wreaked havoc on the yachting business. At least that's what we thought a year ago, February. Look at it now. That's all I can say. I know that chartering is record-breaking right now. Despite all the obstacles that are being set before it, it's record-breaking. The charter brokers are going crazy out there trying to find boats for charters right now. So I committed a MC faux pas, and that is I didn't. Melissa, you still here?
She just walked out.
Just walked out. Okay. Well, when she comes back in, everybody can stand and give her a big applause. No, Melissa is, failed to mention, although it said it on the graphic, Director of Maritime Communications for Isotropic Networks. But she's also a colleague of mine on the board of directors of the International Superyacht Society, a co-backstage director of the ISS Gala, and also on the boards of ISS and of the United States Superyacht Association. So we're glad to have her here. This is being recorded, I mentioned earlier. Don't worry about that. But you need to be taking good notes. Being an ex-school teacher, you never know. We may pull a pop quiz on you at some point in time. You're not allowed to leave unless you get a 70 passing grade or whatever, but just take good notes. I'll tell you why at the end. So our next speaker is Edward Bragg of Wells Fargo, and Ed leads DF's Marine OEM team in the USA. There's some acronyms for you. And is general manager of DF's joint venture, Brunswick Acceptance Corporation. Ed joined Wells Fargo in March of 16 as part of Wells Fargo's acquisition of GE Capital. Prior to this, Ed spent 29 years with GE Capital and its predecessor companies. He's focused on the recreational marine sector, and he fits in very well with us here. And may I introduce you to give us an economic forecast, Edward Bragg of Wells Fargo.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having us today. Special thanks to Chuck Cashman for the invitation. So you just had a little introduction on who I am, but a little bit about our company, what we do. We are the inventory financiers to the world, really, for recreational marine products. But that's not all we do. We also do RVs. We do motorsports. We do outboard power product stuff. We do white goods. We do technology stuff. And we do that, we finance inventory in inventory-intensive industries, anything that has a supply chain that looks like it goes from manufacturer to dealer to end user. And we've been doing this for over 60 years. Wells Fargo bought our company in 2016 from GE Capital. I represent the boat industry for Wells Fargo, and I've been doing that for about 35 years. We've got a team of roughly 100 people dedicated to the marine industry up in Chicago, Illinois. So the context of the presentation here today is I'm going to go through a few slides here. If some of them might be eye charts due to the size of the screens, so I'll do my best to talk through them. But Emma Ross has my presentation, and anybody who'd like a copy of it, you could contact her, and she has my approval to send it to anybody who asks from this meeting. But what I'm going to go over today is I'll have a few pages on Wells Fargo's recent economic insights that are kind of relevant to our industry. They put out a lot of pieces, so I filtered through just a few slides. There's much more than that. If you have a special interest in any area, you can reach out to me, and you know I can find something from them. And then we're going to go over some of our own marine data market insights. Now, we finance new inventory primarily, so new builds for boat manufacturers that go to a dealer that end up getting sold at retail. We do about 110 to 120,000 new boats a year, roughly half the market. So the data that you're going to see from our business is a fairly statistically significant sample. And you'll probably find more similarities than differences with the new boat side of things and how that's going, as opposed to the specific realm that you're operating in, whether it's pre-owned or charter. So the data that I'm going to show today is specific to the United States as well, but it also includes, you know, boats being imported from Europe, you know, in the yacht space, as well as our domestic manufacturers here. And lastly, I don't know if you have an attorney who's going to be talking about this later, but there is this ugly thing going up north of the border called a luxury tax in Canada. I'm going to talk briefly about that, what's going on with that, and how that is trying to be fought. And then we'll end up with a little Q&A. So at that point, we are really, truly in the best of times. Bob kind of mentioned it, you know, who'd have thunk it? You know, the government mandates a lockdown in a deep and short recession. Normally, we're on the losing side of that trade as an industry, but we got a boating bonanza going on in all facets. New boats, pre-owned, charter book. Also, the boat clubs are having record sales. But it's not without its problems, because we've got supply chain things that's wreaking havoc on inventory that it's going to take a while for us to work through. So I'm going to go to my first slide here, Wells Fargo's economic update. So I will just talk on the right side of this page here and talk a little bit about GDP forecast for 2021 right now. Wells Fargo's forecast I have here says a 7% GDP growth rate for 2021. So anybody who keeps up on economic things will realize we've been kind of in a 2-3% growth rate for quite a bit of time. And now we're staring at it at 7%. Just last week, they upgraded it to 7.3%. And they upgraded it for a few reasons, but you know, the long story short is that's going to be the strongest growth rate since 1951 for this industry, for this country. And it's really going to be about the fact that we've got consumer spending is just on fire. And it's been on fire for any type of goods, which includes boats. It's about to transition and is transitioning, and you heard this with the travel segment just before, to services, which is really two times the size of consumer goods purchases. And so a lot of the things that have been locked down, like travel, hotel, restaurants, bars, cars, sporting events, concerts, all those things are starting to open up. And it's going to be an earthquake of spending that's going to be coming on, because there's been $1.8 trillion worth of excess savings piled up by consumers that's getting ready to be deployed as people have some urgency and appetite for getting somewhat back to normal. Going into 2022, that's going to carry over to 5.6% there. They upgraded it to 5.8% last week. So again, a super strong GDP forecast. I will note that Wells Fargo is on the higher end of the consensus forecast for this, but the combination of this opening up of the economy, the services spending that's just going to explode, and the tremendous amount of cash that's sitting out there in the marketplace is going to drive this. One other thing to note on here relevant to our industry is rates. Rates are going to be anchored low by the Fed through the end of 2022. The Fed is more concerned about jobs than the inflation pickup at this point. The inflation pickup is actually more real than they're saying. But right now their focus is on jobs for the foreseeable future, and we're probably going to have close to a zero interest rate policy by the Fed, you know, through the end of 2022. So a couple charts here. You know, I talked about consumer spending, and it's broken into two buckets, goods and services. And on the left side of this chart is a chart that shows durable goods spending. A boat is a durable good. It's a big ticket item. And What the blue line shows you is what would normally happen in a recession on the economic impact of durable goods. Normally, when we have a recession, people stop buying boats, you know, and then over time they start buying them again. And through the business cycle, you know, that starts to grow. But what we saw in the orange line is we got 5 years of growth in durable goods spending in 12 months. And it wasn't just boats, it was RVs, it was, you know, cars, it was every big ticket item people went out and bought. And the two categories that led this spending were autos and recreational vehicles and goods, of which boats is part of. It was about a 30% growth for that category. When you look on the right side of the page, the services side, which I mentioned before, is two times the size of the goods spending. You can see the economic impact of the shutdown on the economy. And services is really broken up into two things. There's things called staples, which is like healthcare, insurance, you know, finance, housing and utilities. That's stuff you have to keep paying for. It really doesn't go away. But the discretionary and the other services spending, which is about 40% of this number, really took a hit because it was really all the fun stuff that you couldn't do anymore and spend. You couldn't go to bars and restaurants, you couldn't go to concerts, you couldn't travel, and that took a giant hit on the right side of this page. And so what happens when you have a giant hit and then you change policy and you open back up, you know, there's pent-up demand that's gonna happen and there's a lot of cash on the sidelines, so it's gonna snap back quite a bit. And what we're gonna see is about 4 to 5 years worth of growth in services spending contained in the next 9 months. And that's what's driving this giant GDP forecast that Wells Fargo has for 2021. Now, looking at the left side of this chart, these are all the personal consumption expenditures by type. You know, the orange line at the top, you know, that's us, that's durable goods. That's boats that are in there. And in 12 months, you know, we got a big uptick. But interesting to note that the forecast, you know, that dotted line for 2021 and 2022 doesn't collapse. One would think, and our dealers fear, that with the reopening of the economy, some of the interest and attention by these new boaters that are coming in is gonna be diverted. But there's so much cash that they can spend, you know, the $700 billion of services spending growth and still have lots of money left over because they've banked $1.8 trillion worth of money. So good spending or spending on boats does not have to collapse. In fact, there's still runway in the business cycle from what we've gained so far to what we usually gain in a traditional business cycle. But where this chart differs is the line on the bottom, which is services spending, which took the biggest hit because the economy was shut down and you couldn't do things. And today it's still 5% below pre-pandemic levels, and that's expected to drive the economy for the next 2 years. But on the right side of this chart is the problem spot for all of us, and that's inventories. And it's not just boat inventories, it's really inventories of every type. We have right now in our history the leanest inventory to sales ratio that we've ever had since it began being measured. So their inventory depletion is not just a boat thing, you know, it's in every inventory intensive market. And the supply chains are entirely disrupted. You know, it's a global supply chain thing, it's not just a local thing. But in the products that we finance, you know, I mentioned the various types, RVs, boats, motorsports products. Every industry is affected. It appears like the boat industry is a little more affected than the other ones. It's a much more complex manufacturing type compared to an RV, which is more of an assembly, you know, or an ATV. So it's just taking a lot more labor hours to do it. It's a lot more inefficient to do it. The supply chain is more gummed up than ever. And so we're feeling it a little heavier than usual. But as I mentioned, you know, when the services spending gets turned on, the fear of our dealer council was that I'm gonna lose momentum at retail. But just in the first quarter, consumers banked $1 trillion worth of excess savings. They already had a high savings rate going into this pandemic, and now they banked another $1 trillion. So if they spend 700, they still got 300 left over on top of the 1.8 they've already amassed. And so there's just so much money out there that it's going to find a home for it, and hopefully they'll find a home for a boat, and hopefully we'll be able to produce a boat for them to have it. Now, this is moving into some of the Wells Fargo data. So this is our inventory book of new boats. We finance boats from 13 feet to 85 feet. The vast majority are in the middle of that. And what this is doing is showing you the weekly floor plan payoffs, which is really a proxy for retail sales. So dealer buys a boat, dealer sells a boat, dealer pays off his floor plan when he sells it. And what this is measuring, since 2020 is not a really good comparison, you know, to use because of the lockdown, it would give you all sorts of distorted information. We went to 2019 to see, well, how do we compare to a more normalized 2019? Because up to this point in 2019, that was a pretty good year until we had cold weather in the north, and then June kind of went south on us. But this is measuring from January 1st of this year to a couple weeks ago, and it's week by week, the change, you know, really at retail compared to 2019. And basically, the long story short, for the first 21 weeks of this year, retail's up probably 20% higher than it has ever been. That is it's a strong number. But it's decelerating right now. It will begin to decelerate. And the reason it's decelerating is not because there isn't demand out there. Demand for boats remains strong. Interest remains strong. Participation remains strong. Inventory isn't around. You just can't sell what you don't have. And we have almost no inventory left in the field. And you look at the right side of the page, these are the manufacturer shipments. We were doing pretty good for the first, you know, month and a half until the storms hit Texas. When the storms hit Texas, they took down some chemical plants that were used for resin. That impacted production beginning in mid-March. And to this day, the supply chain has done nothing but get worse. And so this is really limiting production. We're producing less boats today than we did in 2019 when you adjust them for the price increases that they had for those two model years. So it's really struggling to get along. Now, the impact of that on inventories is for the trailing 12 months ending May, shipments are up 12%. And you would think that's really a good number, but that also includes a prior year that had 9 weeks of a plant shutdown. So it's really, you know, it's not very strong, quite frankly. But retail's up 32% those trailing 12 months. When you add that together, you know, kind of weak or tepid shipments, really strong retail, you just blew out $3 billion worth of field inventory in the industry. And that's half the industry's gone. And the rest of that inventory that's on the ground, probably 70% of it is already under contract. So it's just waiting for a closing. The chart on the left just gives you a measurement of weeks on hand in the inventory in the field. So weeks on hand is just another name for days sales outstanding or inventory turns. It just shows you, you know, how many weeks of supply that you have of inventory available. And since we're a seasonal business, you know, we stock up in the winter and we sell through in the summer during the selling season. That's why it goes up and down. But you can see on the right side of the page, it's a forecast through the end of the year. You know, we've got inventory depletion out there as measured by weeks on hand. And the orange bars just show you whether you're adding inventory or taking away, and you can just see the run on inventory that happened beginning in May of last year. The table on the right gives you the absolute value of the weeks on hand. And we were actually normalized on weeks on hand when this pandemic started in March of 2020. We were in a good place for inventory. We were right where we should have been. Then the run on inventory happened. And today, at the end of this month, we'll be at 6.5 weeks, where we should be about 21 or 22. July is going to be worse. We're going to get down in the fives. We're going to end up with about 37 days worth of inventory in July before we start the climb back upwards. But at the end of this year, we're actually going to have a little less inventory than we had a year ago, December 2020. And that was, you know, half of what we should have. So this $3 billion hole in field inventory, you know, it's about, if retail stopped today, manufacturers could produce for 100 days and they would refill the channel. But they just can't do that. They have to actually build to retail, and retail is 20% higher than it's ever been. So they're having trouble ramping up to that with the supply chain and labor issues that they've got going on. But in addition to that, they got a 100-day hole they have to fill. That's just going to take a long time to do it. And so what that's going to mean is that the rebalancing or normalization of field inventories isn't probably going to happen until late in 2023. We got another 2 years or so of working through inventory depletion because it's just so depleted, things are gummed up, and retail remains strong to this day. You'll hear some public companies in the industry make comments on their investor calls about this. And if you listen to those investor calls the last several quarters, the next call pushes out the correction. So one thing that we've all done as industry participants is we've underestimated the